There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour of live local talk. And this is live local... Well, I'm here. But as I mentioned before we went to the news break, we're going to check in with Team Fight or Die. Of course, just like last year, they had a satellite phone on board. We'd check in with Bryant Knight. This year, they got another connection. This is stuff to drive you crazy when you can't get a cell signal in your own neighborhood and realize we're talking to Marine and we're talking to Purple Heart recipient and one of the rowers aboard the Whoopee for Fight or Die, Evan Stratton, checking in from somewhere in the open Atlantic. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. Thanks for having me. It's exciting. I've never called into the radio from the 23rd Northern of the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, you know, and it's not many calls I take from there either, Evan. It's on both ends.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
That's outside of the satellite phone. I call home, and friends and family don't recognize the number, so they think it's a spam.
I just like the fact that technology makes it able for you to check in from out there. And let's talk about this, because we were following it up to y'all setting off, pushing off from La Gomera in the Canary Islands, and y'all have been rowing for quite a while now. So talk about what these the first leg of this race has been like.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're about a week into the journey, and it was fire right out of the gate. We had some really high winds, 30 to 40 knot winds and waves coming out of La Gomera. So we took off, and it was like trial by fire from the get go. We had a bit of a mechanical error where our foot plate for our steering actually snapped off, so we had to come up with a quick fix. And it's been pretty good so far. So we've had a couple big intense days with weather. We've had a couple calm days. We're sitting kind of on the in between right now. Mostly we've been headed south, but now we're starting to make the cut west to head towards Antigua.
Now, when you do this, are you navigate? You're talking about going south and then starting to go west. Do you have a track laid out with GPS that you're running, or are you going from point to point? How does it work, Evan?
So we do have a GPS, and we're kind of, we know some general themes, right? So we don't want to go below the 17th parallel, because then it's hard to get back up to get to Antigua. And other than that, really, it's using the weather to your advantage. So if we're just pushing this boat flat water, you know, we're pushing two and a half knots, that's pretty good. But if we have good swells and we have a good tailwind, you know, we can push up to 7, 8, 9, 10 knots. So we really want to use the weather to our advantage while kind of keeping the general parameters in mind. So making sure we don't just go too far south by following the winds and getting too far south, and, you know, kind of balancing that with trying to cut west. So we know where Antigua is on the GPS, and then we just kind of balance getting there with the weather.
If y'all just joining us, we're checking in from somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean with Marine Purple Heart recipient, American hero Evan Stratton, who's now getting a little break off the oars as he and the rest of the team paddled their way across the Atlantic. Tell folks about this year's team, yourself and John and Luke and Carl.
Yep, John Fannin, Luke Holton, and Carl Christensen. John's actually another Marine as well. Then Luke is an Army soldier, and Carl, our skipper, was a Navy Submariner officer. So we've got a good mix of the services represented, and you know, we've all got a little bit of different backgrounds. But I think the team, everyone brings a really good, unique skill set to the team, and it's blended pretty well.
It's great. I want to point out, y'all, while Evan trained down here in our neck of the woods, of course, as Team Fight or Die trains here in Mobile, I want to point out your home state, one of my favorite states, but not one that sees a lot of open water there in Colorado.
Yep, Denver, Colorado. You know, it's funny. Fight or Die is based out of Castle Rock, Colorado, so a mile above sea level is, you know, Ocean Rowing USA.
Listen, but at least you have the Southern Command down here in Mobile.
That's right. Yeah, no, Mobile's been a wonderful, wonderful place to train. And, you know, the Buccaneer Yacht Club down there has welcomed us in with open arms. And, you know, we got a lot of really great training and a warm, warm reception and really great food while we're down there in August.
We can't wait to see you back here, too. But let's talk about people who have not followed last year's mission. Can you describe a day, a 24-hour window for y'all? What's that like? How long do you row? When do you sleep? Where do you sleep?
Yep, so there's a bow and an aft cabin. So there's a small little sleeping quarters that I share with John, and then Luke and Carl share up front. So you always have two rowers on, so two guys are rowing, two guys are resting, and two-hour shifts, 24 hours a day. So this boat has no sail, it has no outboard motor, it does not move unless we're pulling on the oars. So we're really accomplishing everything on the oars and off. So typically you'll get on the oars if you need to create some food. So we're using backpackers dehydrated food. You'll drop some water inside one of those, let it rehydrate while you're rowing. Get off from rowing, you'll quickly eat, kind of wipe yourself down with some baby wipes, get a little nap in, and then 2 hours later you're back on the oars. So it's really trying to find a good balance of getting the things done you need to get done between rowing and resting. You know, so brushing your teeth, using the bathroom, all that stuff happens here on the boat. So we've got a 5-gallon bucket for a toilet and, you know, a little bit of water, and over the edge is kind of how that all works out.
Well, it's amazing. A couple things. Number one, just the feat of what y'all are doing. And I want no one other than veterans like y'all doing it, because I know you can handle it, rowing across the Atlantic. But also at the same time, y'all are bringing awareness to issues that are near and dear to your heart and other veterans, and that's issues that are linked and not limited to, but suicide and PTSD and TBI and reintegration. Talk about that and let people know, Evan, what y'all are doing here as an experiment and to bring attention.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, our mission is kind of twofold. So as the rowers, we are partnered with the Denver University Stern Center of Military Psychology. So we're actually research participants with student psychologists who are getting specialized training in military psychology. So we've been working with these students before, during the race, and we'll work with them after to help look at some of performance enhancements and things that may help treat veterans with PTSD through experiments and research we're doing with them. And then, you know, the other aspect is just kind of bringing awareness. And you know, I don't think we're necessarily trying to bring awareness to the issues of PTSD, TBI, and suicide. These are all things that are well known in and out of the veteran community. We know they're out there. What we're really trying to do is show veterans they can still do hard things. We've all kind of, everyone on the team's gone through the different reintegration issues. We've all had to look in the mirror and answer that question, who am I going to be now that I'm not in the military anymore? I've personally struggled with a PTSD and a TBI, and what we're trying to show all veterans and others is that, hey, you can still do hard things, even row an ocean.
Yeah, it's y'all are just folks like you are cut from a different cloth. I mean, still wanting to do hard things after what you've seen, what you've gone through, and being a Purple Heart recipient, and you just want more. You just want more challenges.
Yeah, as I was talking with one of my old platoon sergeants, just before I stepped off, and I'm like, yeah, Pete, I don't know if I'm just crazy or, you know, what it is. He's like, you know, Evan, some guys like us, we're just meant to suffer.
Well, I mean, that is a heck of a row across the Atlantic. Let's talk about this, too, just so people can picture what it looks like around you. So you set off from La Gomera, and it leaves like a heat, right? It leaves like a race. Like all the other boats are around you at that point, right? Or do they go in waves?
Yep. So you do a staggered 5-minute start at the start line, so all the boats are lined up in the marina, and every 5 minutes a cannon's firing off and the next boat's going. So they're launching boats one after the other to get them out there. So we saw boats probably up for about 36 to 48 hours. It spreads out pretty quickly. There's 15 teams of four. There's two 5-man teams. There are seven three-man teams, six two-man, and then I think five solo rowers. So, you know, you get a pretty good spread fairly quickly. And, I mean, we haven't seen a boat land, a light, anything other than us for the last, at least the last 4 days.
All right. Well, let me start my stack of cliched questions then. No light out there, of course. So tell me about the stars. Mm-hmm. When you've gotten clear, is it what we all think it is? Is it amazing?
It is. You know, it's the first couple nights we had these really huge, bright full moons where it was just, I mean, you could see around you for a ways just because of how bright and beautiful the moon was. Over time, the moon's kind of starting to fade it out a little bit. And last night we had some cloud cover, but the night before that, man, the moon hadn't risen yet. We turned the masthead light off the boat, and there was just, you know, stars every which way you looked, and probably some of the best shooting stars I've ever seen that look like they're just coming down right on top of you. You know, they're so close. It's been pretty incredible.
It sounds incredible. You talk about not seeing other boats. I remember talking last year to Bryant, and he said at some point out there they got into maybe close to the shipping lanes. He said, yeah, we were watching big freighters coming across the Atlantic. What must they think when they see a boat like the Whoopi?
Yeah, well, we're trying to stay away from those if we can.
Yeah, that's a smart move. I want to talk about this quickly, too, and I know I let you get some sleep here before you get back on the oars, but people, and I've told people, you know, the app to use, and want to revisit that, how they can follow you, but how they can help, because it's a nonprofit group, and moving forward to help with this research and help with next year's team and the next year, how do we contribute, Evan? How do we support y'all?
Yeah, please check us out on our Facebook page, Fight or Die. That's OAR, Fight or Die. We have a pretty awesome fundraiser going right now where you can actually sponsor a nautical mile. So by paying $10, you can purchase as many miles as you want. So it's $10 per mile, and you'll be sent the latitude and longitude coordinates of the miles you sponsored, and you'll be able to post a quick little message if you'd like. But like you mentioned, we are a 501c3 veteran nonprofit. So if you believe in, you know, helping veterans do big, awesome things like row in the ocean, please contribute. We rely on individual donors to make this happen each year.
Man, I am. I hopefully we'll have all those miles adopted here, you know, in the next couple of days. And I can't wait to check back in with you. And I'll be checking your progress with that app. And tell John and Luke and Carl, Godspeed to all of y'all. And I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, Sean. And thank you, everyone, for the support. Can't wait to get to Antigua and celebrate the victory.
It's a great place to celebrate, man. A great place to celebrate.
All right.
That's for sure. Evan Stratton checking in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, what a guy. What a guy. Marine, Purple Heart recipient. And he's rowing along with three other veterans across the Atlantic in a rowboat. They're just amazing. Amazing. All right. 120. We're coming right back.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Additionally, voting going on right now in our Alabamian of the Year, day four of our first round. Remember, the two top vote getters from any given day, they move on to next week. You vote when you go to the front page of fmtalk1065.com. You'll see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo right there, and today's voting right underneath that. Normally, where our online opinion poll question is, that's where you can vote. So check it out. Front page of fmtalk1065.com. All right, this segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. All right, it's really time to get moving on your Christmas shopping. And if you got a guy on the list that's hard to shop for, I know I can probably, I resembled that remark at some point in my life. I've got a solution for you. How about a practical gift that they're going to love, and nothing that's just going to be like, ah, well, another pair of socks. No, something cool and something they will thank you for going forward, and that is Harry's and shaving with Harry's. And right now, y'all can get $5 off any Harry's shave set when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Shipping cuts off at the end of the week, so you got to act now. It's a practical gift he's actually going to use, and it's a great deal for you and the guy that gets the gift. Sets start at just $20, which is within Secret Santa limits, right? And Harry's blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy will save money over time for shaving with Harry's. It also comes in a ready-to-gift, handsome gift box. I love this thing because it's ready to go. Like, I am the world's worst Christmas present wrapper. I can't wrap any present. So I need something to help me out, and they do that. And also, you can save money doing this right now online, harrys.com. Special offer for y'all. Partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any of their shave sets, including their limited edition holiday sets, when you enter the code MOBILE at harrys.com. Each Harry's shaving set comes with a weighted handle with option to engrave, 5-blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades, and they all come packaged in a handsome holiday gift box. Shipping cuts off at the end of this week, so act now. Use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Make sure to use code MOBILE. All right, we can talk a little bit more trains. I see a lot of text about the trains, but I want to point out, too, if you want to follow Team Fight or Die, and obviously I'm a fan of what this charity does. I'm a fan of the vets that do this. I mean, think about Evan. This man, multiple deployments, Purple Heart recipient, the things he's seen as a Marine sergeant, and he's just 29 years old, and now he's with three others rowing a boat, rowing it across the Atlantic. The spirit of our veterans never fails to amaze me. It's awesome. So support the team. You can go to usvetrow.org. So United States, you know, like usvetrow.org, usvetrow.org. That's the main website. But if you search for Fight or Die, if you Google that or whatever you do, Ask Jeeves or wherever you go online, if you look for Fight and then OAR, like an or on a, like Fight or Die, you'll come up with a team. But the app I mentioned with Evan, I think I've told you all about this in the past, it's kind of fun. If you got a little time here, it is a free app for your iPhone, or if you're like me, you got an Android phone, you know, you go to Google Play, it's iTunes Store for the rest of y'all, free app. Look for YB Races, okay? So, like, yellow book, YB races, or YB tracking, but I think it's called, yeah, YB races. You go there, once you download the app, it's really not a very big app, doesn't take up much space on your phone, you'll just select the specific race. It'll say, what, you know, what do you want to follow, what race? You're going to follow the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. Okay, Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. And when you load that on your phone, that app, you'll be able to watch Team Fight or Die. You can watch all the other teams, too. It even has a graphic here that shows where the boats are positioned coming across the Atlantic. And they are probably, let's see, the leads are probably, looking at that. So the Cape Verde Islands are just about south, due south of the majority of the rowboats right now. And you can see all that in the app. It's called YB Races. And if you go on there, you'll be able to download the app. You'll be able to follow our team, Team Fight or Die, folks who train right here in Mobile at the Buccaneer Yacht Club. And now there they are out in the open Atlantic. And we'll check back in with them over the next few weeks and months and follow their progress. Next few weeks, because hopefully within months they'll be in. All right, some of your text here on the train thing, it's, yeah, and I'm torn. People are asking about, you know, if there's not a, if we have to subsidize it. I'm paraphrasing somebody here. If we subsidize it, why do we do it? I know, I'm with you. I have to keep the oh, wouldn't it be neat part of my brain in check, and at the same time look at, is this the right thing for the city of Mobile to do? You know, some things don't always bring back, like the ROI. Everything we look at needs ROI, but I would argue some things don't, like a city park, right? It's good to have park and baseball facilities and basketball facilities and a place for kids to play football and soccer and all that. That's good. You know, having open fields and all that, that's good. And I can't tell you that brings back X number of tax dollars to the city. It just makes it a better place to live. But you look at something like the train, the infrastructure, part of it's already done, right? The train tracks are there, but you will have to have a station at some point, and it looks like that's been worked out. One of the issues was that they were going to put this train station there in downtown by the convention center, and that was going to be an issue, they thought, for some of the freight traffic coming in and out of the port. Now they're talking about moving that train station down to where the downtown airport is, the Brooklyn downtown airport. Maybe that makes it better. $3 million? I don't know. I mean, the other states, Mississippi and Louisiana, have already kicked in more money, and of course they would have more track and more area, and they've already done their part, and the federal match is $33 million. They're asking Mobile to come up with a commitment in local funds over 3 years at $3 million, so for a total of $3 million. Is that worth it? Is it something that if we don't do, we'll be saying, oh gosh, we wish we did it? Or is it something we do, and here we'll sit in 3 or 4 years going, wow, there's another drain of money. What could you have done with that $3 million? So I get the discussions on both sides of this, but what would you do? Let's say you're in the position down there to make a decision on this. Do you green light this thing, or do you derail it?
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We'll take a second here for some self-promotion from one show to another. The promo just ran there for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Had a great interview about a week ago with Chris Cook from Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, and a real in-depth dive into deer rut in Alabama. Pretty cool. The interview went on a long time, longer than we could get in 1 week's show. So my buddy Mike Ward and I, who I host the show with, we split it up. Last week we aired the first half. This week, coming up Saturday morning, we'll talk to Wayne Miller, talk some fishing, and then we'll get the second half of that interview on. But you can go to the podcast link on the front page of fmtalk1065.com, or go to Sports and Outdoors and load the full podcast and listen to it as one piece. It's up there and waiting for you now. Plus, if you subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio, podcast waiting for you there as well. All right, so check that out. Let's do this, too, because somebody was saying, y'all were talking about Doug Jones. Why are you talking about Doug Jones? Doug Jones was on the show at the beginning of the noon hour. So I want to set this back up for folks that are just now getting in their vehicles or now tuning in here. Let's run that. We'll run the conversation from last hour. Senator Doug Jones joined me, and then we'll come back and talk with you about that and any kind of reaction at 343-0106. Let's go to this. This is from just about 12:05, 12:06 today when Senator Doug Jones hopped on the phone with us. But I want to get to our first interview of the show, and obviously they are very busy in Washington right now, so let's go ahead and get rolling with Alabama Senator Doug Jones joining us now from Washington. Thanks for your time.
Hey, my pleasure, Sean. Thank you.
Hey, it's a lot to talk about. I do want to, before we get into what's happened here in the last 24 hours, let's talk about some things that are pretty darn positive here that I think you're going to get, I'm not even going to say bipartisan, I'm going to say nonpartisan support for, and that is doing away with the military widows tax. Explain that. You've talked to us about it before, but set it up for folks down here in South Alabama. What is that?
Sure. That's a big deal. It's done, by the way. We passed it. It is part of our national defense authorization. I'm sure the president's going to sign it. The widow's tax has been an offset. I mean, over the years, military members who have died from a service-related injury or death are entitled, their surviving spouses are entitled to certain VA benefits. And then there's a separate pot of money that they pay into. It's like additional insurance that they pay into that's been administered from the Department of Defense. This is their own money, Sean, that's going into this. It's not taxpayer money, unlike some of the VA benefits that we fund because of our service and our gratitude to these military members. The separate pot is money that these military families pay into, but when that military member dies or veteran dies, they offset each other dollar for dollar, and so these folks are not getting the full benefit. They're usually getting about 55%, and it costs most, I think, military surviving spouses an average of about $11,000 a year.
Wow.
And this has been on the books for a long time. For 18 years, there have been efforts. These military widows and spouses and groups have been pounding the halls of Congress for 18 years, trying to get somebody to really work to get this done. There have been bills introduced, but nobody has really put the campaign together to actually get it done until this year. And my friend from Maine, Senator Susan Collins, and I really, along with Congressman Joe Wilson, a Republican from South Carolina, really, we took it upon ourselves to really make sure that this happens this year. And we got 77 or 78 co-sponsors in the Senate. Joe was able to get over 370 or 80 in the House, and we were able to build momentum and get this eliminated. So for the first time now in 40 years, we're really putting our money where our mouth is to make sure that when we talk about our support for surviving military families and our support for veterans, that we are demonstrating it, and we're not just talking about it. We are demonstrating that commitment that we have to those who made the ultimate sacrifice for this country.
You've been talking, of course, we're talking about the NDAA, but as a member of the Armed Services Committee, y'all look at this stuff every day, and it's not just veterans. I saw something in there, right? A pay increase for active duty.
Yes, we've got the NDAA does a lot of different things. There was a pay increase for military because it really is the authorization for the Defense Department and any number of things. So there's a pay increase for all active duty military. There are so many things, and this was something I really tried to focus on in my priorities. It was, you know, we've got a lot of money coming in between Redstone Arsenal, Austell down in Mobile, the Anniston Army Depot, Maxwell Air Force Base. There's a lot of research and development and modernizing our military, but I also tried to do things for families, which includes this 3.1% increase in pay. It includes additional monies for impact aid, which is money that goes to school systems who help educate military kids. We've got special things for kids with disabilities. We tried to do all of those things to help families. Included in this is a big thing that Ivanka Trump has been pushing some, and I've worked with her on, and that is the paid parental leave, 12 weeks of paid parental leave for all federal civilian employees, which is going to be a really big deal to help try to retain and attract good top-notch people into federal service.
I want to look more of what's been happening, too, in Washington with the appropriations package. I can get into a macro view and how I feel about deficit spending, but that may be a discussion for us for another day and maybe for everybody in Washington and versus me. But I did look at some of the breakouts here inside that $1.4 trillion appropriation package. What comes to the state of Alabama? I know you were talking about this. Also, your fellow Senator Richard Shelby talking about this as well. It's something in energy, water development portion, something that means good. It's good news for us down here on the coast.
Well, there's a lot of things that are going to be doing. Let me just throw out a couple things. You know, one, I got my cold case civil rights thing funded for the first year. That's going to be funded. We're going to start that. We've got money going in to help study the chronic wasting disease that deer hunters are so concerned mm-hmm. about. I think the specific money that you're talking about is the money that's going to help for the dredging
yes.
of the port, port down there in Mobile Bay. That is going to be a huge economic development boon for the city of Mobile and also for the entire southeast Alabama to be able to get that Mobile Bay dredged to allow bigger ships. That is something that Senator Shelby in particular has been working on for many, many years, and this is, I think this bill is the crowning achievement for that. I'll let that go forward.
Hey, you were telling me before we went on the air, when we were in the news break, what kind of money are we talking about for CWD research federally? This is a pretty big number.
Yeah, it's $1.72 million for some surveys to kind of try to map this and do some things to combat chronic wasting disease. And there's another $5 million that are part of the modernizing the Pittman-Robertson Fund. Mm-hmm. which will go to help wildlife agencies conduct in very, very important chronic wasting disease outreach activities, not just research, but we were talking about that, and I double-checked. It's going to help. It should get some money into the state of Alabama to try to help us with outreach activities. I think the state's really doing a really good job right now of bringing this to everyone's attention. This will help a lot. It's something that I think that we can do through the federal funds to try to get this done, but because we're still hoping that we can stop that that CWD before it hits Alabama deer.
Yeah, when you, I mean, do you ever get a chance to talk to senators from states that, that do have that CWD issue? And I, you know, if they're a big hunting state, what that means to their, I mean, it means to their economy.
I mean, look, I don't know how the numbers in front of me, Sean, but you know that deer hunting in particular is a huge boost to Alabama's economy.
Yep.
There are people that come from other states that come into Alabama to hunt that in the Black Belt area, it's so important. It's a huge number. And if we start getting that in, and that could really devastate not just a way of life for so many people like you know, like me and others, me and my son and others that see that deer season as just a way of life for them, but also the economy for so many people that depend on that. So this is a this was a really important step. You know, so Republican Senator Barrasso and I worked on this for the last year and a half to try to get this in, and we're both extremely happy that we were able to get this in to this appropriation bill.
All right. I want to look at one thing I saw in a note here. Maybe you can explain it. I mean, I understand the words I'm reading, but I didn't know timeline-wise, it's the Supporting Victims of Iranian Terrorism Act. What is that,
sure.
Senator? What's...
Well, it's kind of technical stuff. The bottom line is this. There are Iranian assets that have been frozen that victims, you remember the Marine Barracks explosion back in, gosh, I think it was 1992 or 1983.
83, yeah,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Those victims' families have been working with lawsuits, and there's a just has been a technical problem that is the courts have held up over $1 billion, almost $2 billion. I think, to not allow these victims to get to that. So this bill is going to make that technical correction to make sure that those assets that have been frozen, Iranian government funds, are available to these victims. And it also was written in such a way that I think 9/11 victims will also be able to benefit should they be able to show that the Iranian government was involved in that anyway. We work with both victims groups. Senator Tom Cotton, a Republican from Arkansas, and I were really the leading sponsors on that. And we've got some families in Alabama. I think there's at least 34 family members in Alabama that will benefit from the Beirut victims. It's just, it's the least we could do after so long. And we got the 9/11 victims, too, that we've been working with.
All right. I want to, before we wrap up here, I was thinking about this. I mentioned you a couple times on the show this week because I read a clip from an interview you did, I think, with CBS 42 in Birmingham, and asked about what your vote would be if the Senate's looking at these articles of impeachment, if they, and we don't want to get, I mean, off in the weeds, whether when you will get them, when they will come from the House and get to the Senate. But if they do, you know, how you will vote. I've asked you this several times on this, if you'd ask for vote for removal. But in your, if you can help me, because in your quote there from that CBS story, you said very similar thing that you said before. You want to look at, you know, more on the information, get more more time to read through that. But you also said in that impeachment is, and I'm paraphrasing here, so correct me, Senator, impeachment is bad for the country or it's not good for the country.
Sure.
So
look, you can only see what's how the country is being split right now. I mean, and part of that, quite frankly, Sean, is that we haven't got a complete picture. I mean, we've not seen all of the evidence. I've said all along this is a very serious matter. Unlike some of my colleagues who simply see this as a partisan matter, I've never seen it as a partisan matter, and I've implored both sides to come out of their partisan corners. It is impeachment of a president of the United States is never a good thing. You never want to see that that a president has conduct that even rises to the level of doing an investigation. But the fact is, this was a serious matter, and I do think it was appropriate for the House to conduct an investigation. You can argue about whether or not it was fair over there or not, but you know what? That's not for me to determine. That was the House version, and all I can do now is to do my duty as a senator. It's coming over here. It may be held a little bit to try to see where the rules are over in the Senate, but it's coming over here. And the only thing I can do now is to make sure that once it gets to the Senate of the United States, that it is a full and fair and complete process and trial. And that means it's got to be fair to the President of the United States, and it's got to be fair to the American public, and we make sure we have all the information. The last thing people want, I believe, in this country, they want final resolution, and they don't want to see in another year or so, if John Bolton's book comes out, to all of a sudden there's going to be information that's going to be damaging to the President or exonerating the President. That should come out now, whether it's Bolton or other witnesses. It needs to be complete. I think the American public, regardless of how they feel about it now, need and want and believe that we should have a complete trial.
Yeah, but, you know, listening to Mitch McConnell, I mean, he's saying, hey, that process in the lower body, in the House, was anything but measured or bipartisan. So why should I do this now? I know that Senator Schumer's tasking him with doing it this way or that way, and he's saying, hey, you didn't give me the same kind of, the president wasn't given that same kind of quarter in the House. Why should we do it in the Senate?
Well, I don't know what Senator McConnell is saying. You know, we're supposed to take a separate oath to do fair and impartial justice. That's what the oath will say. I don't quite frankly know how Senator McConnell, with a straight face, can take that oath after the comments that he has made, because he has said he's not. Senator Graham has said the same thing. Frankly, there's been some Democrats, if you read between the lines, they've said that they're not going to be impartial. So I'm perplexed. And the one thing that I don't think is appropriate for Senator McConnell or anyone else to say is to flip the argument in the House. The House didn't do a fair process. Their process wasn't fair, so therefore we're not going to make it fair either. That just doesn't make sense to me. I think we owe it to the American public and the American people, whether you agree with the president, whether you support him or not, however you feel about this right now, we have a duty, I believe, to have this to be a fair process. And that's what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping that Senator McConnell and Senator Schumer can get together and talk about this so it's fair to the president, it's fair to the American people, regardless of what happened in the House of Representatives.
Okay, because looking at it here, a lot of people back home will call me and say, hey, this is nothing but a political disagreement. Democrats do not like the policies of the president, and they're trying to punish or derail based on using impeachment as a tool. I think we've taken a step in a bad direction in this country, because I can see this pendulum swing back when all the people in control of different bodies in the White House are all different parties. This could come back, and I do not want our republic to be in a system of using impeachment as a political tool.
I completely agree with you, Sean. I am absolutely agreement. But one of the problems, and let's be fair to both sides here, one of the problems that we've had that's made it this way is that the President of the United States decided to not let the people in the room who have firsthand knowledge about this testify. We've not seen any documents except transcripts, edited transcripts of two phone calls. And so there's really a little, some to blame on everyone's part that this has become so partisan. I am hoping that once we get over the Senate is a different body. It truly is. I've seen it up here time and time again. You only look and see what happened in the last 2 weeks and all the bipartisan work that we've done on HBCUs and the appropriations process and the military widows tax, to see what can be done when people will sit down and talk to each other, not at each other. And that's what I'm hoping that we'll see. And it's a new day here. Regardless of how people feel, it is a constitutional process that we are obligated to do. And I am actually, I got to tell you, I'm literally praying that the Senate proceeds, that everybody in the Senate proceeds with the best interest of the country and the Constitution in mind, not a political party or a particular person.
All right, Senator Jones, thank you for your time. I know you got to run. We'll get you back on the show very soon and talk more about this.
You got it, Sean. Thanks so much for having me. I always enjoy it.
Likewise, Senator Doug Jones joining us as we get... All right, so that was the interview from last hour when the senator checked in. By the way, one of the now seven Republicans who would like to have that job. Our AL1 Congressman Bradley Byrne is going to join us. Just got a note here at noon tomorrow for Midday Mobile. So he's going to join us starting at 12 o'clock tomorrow. It's officially Christmas, Dalton. Now, with Alabama rolls at Christmas in Dixie. All right, now 157 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile wrapping up for today. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. I'll see y'all tomorrow morning bright and early for Mobile Mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. Remember, online voting in our Alabamian of the Year. It's front page, FMTalk106.5.com. Big thank you. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for being here. And send us a note. You can hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, where we have pictures of last night's FM Talk 106.5 Christmas party. It was riotous. That was just Dalton's daughter. She was the star of the show. Y'all check them out online, and I'll see you in the morning.
There's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie. Christmas from Dixie.